On today's episode of the Yezu, the radio show podcast, we're going to highlight a club, group, or organization that is using Yezu System Fusion products and using them in the dead of winter to support an event with over 10,000 participants. That's on today's episode of the Yezu, the radio show podcast. And welcome to the Yezu, the radio show podcast. I'm your host, John Crook. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a Yezu customer. And I'm excited about this podcast. I really am, because a lot of people have started saying, you know, John, we really are starting to like the podcast. We really are starting to tune in. We love it when we're on the go. We want to listen to something in the car. Whatever the case may be, people are saying, hey, I want to go ahead, hear more about that podcast. But more importantly, people have said, you know what? It would be great if we can get a little bit more in depth, see how people are using it. And we sat back in the office, we said, you know what? That isn't actually a great idea. So welcome to the first of hopefully many editions of Spotlight on your club, group, or organization for using Yezu products. And today, we're going to go ahead and talk with Wally, N9VAO. He is an EC, so emergency coordinator for Aries Races for a place up in northern Wisconsin called Sawyer County. And he's up there, and he uses Yezu. Well, we'll get into it a little bit here. We'll get into it. I'm not going to go ahead and give it all away, and then you tune out or anything like that. We're going to do like the Ryan Seacrest thing and saying, hey, after these announcements. And with that, after these announcements, hey, you want to go ahead and find out where can you get information about Yezu products and services? Where can you interact? Where can you do all this stuff? Well, guess what? Yezu is here for you. If you need to contact us, if you need questions, technical questions, customer service questions, sales questions, reach out to us on our Yezu.com website. That's right, Yezu.com. On there, go under the Contact Us tab, and you can easily select from the type and category of question or thing that you may need assistance with. And then simply select it, fill out that form, and one of us will go ahead and get back to you. Whether it's sales, service, technical support, whatever, we are there for you. We are here to help you. Now, we do go ahead and saying, hey, if you're going to go ahead and ask a question, make sure you please put it on the right category, not just send it to all the categories. That sometimes creates that little extra congestion in the system where we got to forward it between the different departments. Now, if it's a sales question, select sales support. If it's a customer service question, select customer service. And by all means, then, if you have a technical support question, make sure you select technical support on there. Don't worry about it. That is your main focus on there. And then we'll be more than happy to talk to you about Yezu and even have a nice chat as we like to engage with our customers. Once again, Yezu.com. Check out all of our information and ways to contact us from there. All righty. Well, welcome back to today's episode. Like I said, I have via... I don't know, we can kind of call it this day and age. You're not in the studio, you're via telephone, and so you're virtually in the studio, I guess that's how we could say. On the phone with me, virtually in the studio, we have here is Wally N9VAO. Good afternoon, good morning, depending on when the people are listening to it, sir.
Well, good morning to you too, John, and thanks for having me on board with your podcast.
Well, thank you very much for coming on, and I thought that this is going to be one of the best ways to start this off, because you have an event, and this event for, I don't even know how to say it, it's kind of a unique event, because it really can only take place in certain parts of the United States. It's not an event that can really take place anywhere in the United States. It requires a couple of key elements and some, I guess, cooperation from Mother Nature. Would you agree?
Oh, definitely. They got to have a good amount of snow for those cross-country skiers.
And that's what we're talking about. We are talking about the American Birkebeiner cross-country ski race. Now, this race takes place, the date is always the confirmed date, but it's like the last weekend in February, correct?
Yeah. That's correct.
And now, this race is unique, because I think, you know, we're familiar with skiing, and we're not talking like water skiing or something, or even downhill skiing. We're talking cross country, and in essence, cross country, you can actually ski up a hill, right?
Well, yeah, that's kind of the funny thing, that people don't know anything about skiing, say cross country skiing, I got to ski uphill. But actually, it is a lot of fun and a lot of good exercise for your body.
Well, I'm a kind of person, I don't like to run unless I'm being chased, and I use gravity to ski downhill. So I'm not going to be participating. But when it comes to participants, the number that you had told me is staggering. And they sell out each year. But on an average, how many participants alone are involved in this event?
Well, it's a big event. In fact, the American Birkebeiner Ski Race, which is held between the city of Hayward and the city of Cable, Wisconsin, that has 10,000 skiers in it. It is the largest cross-country ski race in North America. That North America, of course, including Canada and anywhere here in the North American region. And there's actually three separate ski races that total up to 10,000 skiers. There's the American Birkebeiner Ski Race, which is 56-kilometer race that starts in Cable, Wisconsin, and ends on Main Street in Hayward. Then there is the Coeur d'Alepet Ski Race, which is half, you could say, of that, which is a 26-kilometer race. And then there is, for what you could say is the beginner's cross-country skiers, only a 5-kilometer ski race, and it's called the Prince Haakon Race. And those three races take place on a Friday and a Saturday, the last Friday, Saturday in February every year.
Okay, so I guess that's another key point to point out here. This is not just a one race with three courses like you described. This is actually 2 days of different events that are taking place with 10,000 participants. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you could have participants that take place on Friday, and then they're going to do the, how do you want to say, the next race or the other race on Saturday also, correct?
Oh, yes, yes. There's quite a few skiers in the Coeur d'Alepet ski race, the 26-kilometer one, that takes place on Friday. And they also ski in the Saturday race, which is the full American Birkebeiner for 52 kilometers.
Gotcha. Now, I mean, I have friends and stuff like that, that, you know, they help like the Chicago Marathon and like, you know, the Twin Cities Marathon and other different events and stuff like that on there. But I'm going to say that there's probably a little more logistical challenges because they're not running on city streets or sidewalks or anything like that. They're going through literally the woods, you know, over the river and through the woods kind of deal, right? And that's where their ski race is taking place. So in addition to the normal logistics of just an event as big as this, you also have the support staff, right? I'm sure you have some sort of food station. I'm sure there's a large medical component to it. There's tons of volunteers. So adding that number to it, how many would you say is support volunteer staff in addition to that 10,000 that you have?
Well, the total would probably come to somewhere between 16,000 to 18,000 people involved. And like you just mentioned, there has to be food station people, there has to be medical people, security people, communication people, and all kinds of, I guess you could say gophers that have to run supplies to the different stations along the course throughout the day.
Now, I'm in Wisconsin. I go to northern Wisconsin a lot. Sometimes some of my videos and stuff that I've done and podcast recordings have been at, as I call it, the Fortress of Solitude up in northern Wisconsin there. You know, for those Superman fans, you got in there. Okay, we're moving on. But one of the things I do know about northern Wisconsin, why a lot of people like to go, is there's no cell phone coverage. So cellular communications are, and I can imagine 18,000 people, and probably a few are using Facebook or something or Instagram or something. They're probably jamming up cell signals. So communications is going to be an issue. And that's where you and your group, your team come in, correct?
Oh, that's correct, John. Yeah, cell phone coverage along the course is not 100%. And maybe just to let the listeners know, all of the course is through the wooded areas on a specified trail. Only the last approximately 2.5 kilometers of the race are out in an open area, which is across the lake and then onto some streets in the city of Hayward, and then, of course, the finish line on Hayward's Main Street.
Okay, so that even kind of just, to even kind of put it more in depth and more kind of what's going on too then, is it so now you have obviously medical team that you may need to provide logistical support to. You have obviously the food stations, which you sound that you're going to probably have to provide communications logistics support to. I guess the big down to thing is that, and kind of the reason why we have you on the show here today, you have some sort of network set up. You have communications that take place, correct? Can you kind of tell me what sort of backbone you have? Do you have repeaters? Do you have, how's it all set up?
Okay, well, John, maybe I should start by saying that back 20 plus, close to 25 years ago, the American Birkebeiner Foundation came to me and said, we understand that amateur radio operators are capable of giving backbone communications for when we need it for different things. And I said, well, yes, sure, we'll be glad to do it. And I met with them quite a few times before, through the years, quite a few times before the race began, to find out exactly what they wanted and what we could do. And we got together and decided to furnish the communications for certain things for the race. That's when I realized at the beginning when they asked us that, well, we have some kind of old, and I'm going to use the word dinosaur computers, or I'm sorry, repeaters in the Hayward area here. We were strictly VHF only, and the repeaters were not that good. They were constantly breaking down on us, and well, a lot of duct tape and bubble gum and a lot of, I hope this works, we were doing through the years on them.
Mm-hmm.
I decided with a couple of members of our group to research what we need and what would be the best to go with. And doing all kinds of research, not only in person with different things and different people, but even on the internet, we decided to go with two DRX2 repeaters installed in our Hayward site. The reason why we went with two of them is because we could have one strictly set up on UHF and one strictly set up for VHF. And what we liked about Yaesu is that without any problems, we're capable of cross-banding those. So somebody could come in on the VHF side into the DRX2. People listening in on the UHF frequency will hear it, and vice versa also. We're very happy with the Yaesu system. It's never broken down on us, and it does everything that we need and expect it to do.
Well, that's great to hear, obviously, and obviously why you're on the show today. Now, let's talk a little bit about your system, because I always get a lot of technical questions on people having it. So just so people understand, you have two separate repeaters, though. You have one of the DR2Xs running on the VHF, and then you have the run running on the UHF, and physically at that one site, you have both of them connected or tied together, correct? Like through a link controller or something like that?
Oh, yes, that's correct. Yeah, we have to have the link controller in there, and we also like the Yaesu too, because we do have some volunteers that come and help us that like to do the digital side of Yaesu. So the repeaters are set up to receive digital also at the same time while they're cross-banding.
Well, and that was going to be my next question I have to ask, because, I mean, just the pure logistics of it, 56 kilometers is what you're saying is that length of the course. And I'm sure it's not a straight 56. It's probably curvies and everything, the woods and all that kind of jazz. So that's how you get to the 56. But does your one site that you have with that Yaesu equipment, does that cover the whole course? Or, because you mentioned crossbanding, how does that play into how the system works?
Yes, we do cover the whole course, and with some of our volunteers that help us up on the far northern end of the course, that would be just near the start line up there in Cable. I have one operator that has a handheld, and he crossbands from his handheld into his mobile, and then his mobile then I think he has it set up to where it will come out then on the VHF side, into the VHF side here in Hayward on the DRX2. Otherwise, everybody else along the course is getting into the system and hearing the system just on their handheld.
Well, that's pretty amazing, because you do have to, I mean, think about that, you know, and I'm sure, you know, up there's a lot of wilderness terrain, so I'm obviously you probably got some good high coverage sites up there. But one of the things that you did mention, and I want to key in on that, is as you mentioned the abilities of digital. Is this an FM only kind of event, or are people using digital also, or are you, how are you using, are you integrating both on there?
Oh, yes, we are. I have several people along the course that they like hearing it on the digital side, that on the VHF side, sometimes they can move into an area, and you know as well as I do, with a handheld, you can move 5 feet and lose a signal. But on digital side of it, they're able to listen to everything 100% all the time.
Okay, so that's how you can even leverage the system even further. You can actually take, and the benefits, obviously, of Yaesu System Fusion, which I've talked about numerous times on podcast presentations, everything, is that it's the only digital mode out there, I should say, that at an infrastructure level, you can go in on, let's say, digital and come out analog, or go in analog or come out digital, or even better yet, go in analog or digital and be forced out to, let's say, analog or digital. So my understanding is that's how you guys are really utilizing the system in there, is that you're going to let those people use VHF or UHF. And then, and my understanding then is kind of when we talk preliminary, that like if someone's in that fuzzy area where analog kind of breaks up, they just switch over to digital, and then the analog user doesn't know. Is that correct?
Well, that's correct. Yeah. One person listening to what another person is saying, no matter what they're on, if they're on the analog or the digital side, if they're on the VHF or the UHF side, they don't know how the person they're listening to is coming into the system. And that's why I said a little bit ago that some of them have found out that they're getting a better reception no matter where they walk in the area that they're working in. They're receiving the digital signal nice and clear all the time. Where I did have in the past a few people that they said, well, I walked from my vehicle to the medical tent and I was on analog and I lost the signal. It was coming in kind of choppy, broken up. I turned my Yaesu handheld over to the digital side and everything was coming in good and clear.
Well, that's pretty amazing. I do have to say there. And you know what? In essence, that is what the core component of Yaesu System Fusion is about, is the fusing, the together of digital and analog being to operate, to coexist in one, in essence, playground of there. And I think that's just an amazing part of there. But I know, I can tell you right now, I know I have some people listening right now that are going to go ahead and are going to be like, hey, John, let me ask you something real quick. We're talking about the DR2X repeater. Hey, where do I get a DR2X repeater? And guess what? No need to worry about that, folks. You want to get a Yaesu DR2X repeater. They are available at all of our dealers. But hey, you're looking for a good deal. You're looking for a good price. We do have a special going on with the Yaesu DR2X repeaters. That's right. For a limited time, you can go ahead and purchase a Yaesu DR2X repeater at a very, very, very inexpensive cost. I'm not going to call you cheap. I don't want people to say cheap price because people think cheap price, cheap equipment. No, Yaesu equipment is not cheap in regards of quality and build. They are high quality performance radios and they're offered at a great price to you. You want to find out how to get in on this repeater special? I want everybody to go ahead and write down this web address. Ready? It's systemfusion.yaesu.com. That's right. systemfusion.yaesu.com. That's going to be the website you're going to go to. That takes you to our System Fusion website. Different than Yaesu.com. Different than Yaesu.com. I got to stress that. It's systemfusion.yaesu.com. Replace that www with System Fusion. Go to the bottom of that homepage there. You're going to see the link for the program. If the program is currently active, you're going to see the link. You click on it, download that application for it, fill out that PDF application, include all the information there, send it to the program address. The applications are reviewed when the program's active, and then you can have the chance to own one of these great Yaesu DR2X repeaters. Now, program only applies to the North America market. If you are listening and you're from outside the North America area, I'm sorry. I'm not exactly 100% sure what other programs might be going on in other countries and stuff like that on there. But let me tell you something. This is the option for you. Want to get into repeaters? Want to increase? Want to have fun with the Yaesu System Fusion? Here's a great starting point for you. All righty. So I'm just fascinated by this. This next part I'm really fascinated by. So you obviously are net control. On an average, just so people can understand where we're coming with, on an average, how many people do you have that are possibly going to be communicators during this event? We're talking like mid-teens, right, sometimes?
Yes. For the quarter open race on Friday, I have to have at least four people out on the course, because it's only a half a course, and there are always two of us in the net control station. On Saturday, I usually have around 12 people. If more come to help, that's great. I mean, the more the better. But the minimum amount on the course for Saturday, the full race at 52 kilometers, is 12 people. And then again, on Saturday, there are two of us that are in net control.
And you also come sometimes, I know you're saying sometimes you'll have some at the organization's office, or if you have extra people, you'll put them in there. But the reason I say this is because, and I'm sure everybody can agree, some hams like to rag chew, right? And during events, some hams, now I'm not saying all now, everybody listening, just relax, I don't need emails, okay? But sometimes we can get a little jabber-jawy on there. And you, when we were talking about this, you told me how you leverage a feature in the DR2X that I don't think a lot of people are aware of, which is that B-side priority function on there. So using that B-side frequency, so you always have priority, correct?
Oh, that's correct. There are a lot of times there where I have to send out some very important information to a specific location across the course, that if somebody's tying up the frequency with just idle chatter or with unnecessary information, I can get in there and get on top of it and get through with what I need to.
Now, when we had talked about this, so you have that VHF repeater set up and the A side. So for those that have the DR2X or kind of know the operation, that A side on there is set up for your normal VHF frequency, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then from what you had told me, you have a UHF frequency. So in essence, what you're doing with that one repeater is the A side is VHF, but then you turn that B side sort of into like a unidirectional crossband. So it's listening on a specific UHF frequency, but then it's crossing out over to VHF. And then that's how you're doing the priority interrupt, correct?
Yes, that's the way we do it. Yep.
Wow. And that's pretty amazing. That's pretty significant on there, because, you know, how many times, and I imagine you could think of probably helping out different events, you have that, and I imagine you didn't have this before with before the DR2X repeaters there, but someone is on there, like you said, tying up and that kind of thing, because you're relaying messages across a whole board, correct? You're what kind of messages are you relaying so people can understand why this is an important feature of your system?
Well, like I said, the Berkey people came to us and said, well, we need to know, and I'll briefly explain this. We need to know who drops out of the race. In other words, who doesn't make it to the finish line. And we need to know where they dropped out and for what reason. So that's why we have two people in net control, is that one person is on the radio taking this information, when the second person then is on a computer entering the information, the bib number of the skier, where they dropped out and why they dropped out. And then this information then through the internet is given to the Berkey office, because in the past there were people that were walking into the Berkey office and going, as an example, My son's in the ski race. He should have been across the finish line 2 hours ago. Where is he? Well, they didn't have an answer. They didn't know. And that way they came to us and said, well, can you take care of that information? And we said, well, yeah, sure. So now, as I get the information, or who's in net control gets that information, enters it on the computer through the internet, that information is then sent to the Berkey office, and then they can see who, they don't use names, just the bib numbers. If they dropped out for a medical reason, it is just a medical reason. We're not allowed, because of the HIPAA laws, to say, well, he dropped out because he fell down and broke a wrist, right, or whatever.
Makes sense.
So we just say they're out for a medical reason or an equipment failure. In other words, they broke a ski, broke a binding, whatever, or they're out because of fatigue, meaning they're too tired to continue on. And the Berkey people were so happy with us giving them that information that every year when the race is over with, they contact me personally and they say, gee, Wally, we hope you're going to be back next year because you keep doing a terrific job for us. And I tell them, we've got good system up there now with the repeaters. We'll be glad to be back.
Well, that's great. Now, last thing I gotta say, because this caught my eye. I was really amazed on it. I guess it was, as we called the BC, before COVID times, you had one of the events one of the years. And my understanding was is that the course has, over the last, let's say, 5 years, kind of gone through somewhat of a transformation, if for argument's sake, of where it started and where it was located on the far north end of the course. And it is my understanding that when it was a little different, you had some repeater coverage issues because of hills and valleys, which it's understanding no system is 100%, right? But kind of explain to me, you had a very helpful ham up there on the north end, that he lived up in that area there, and you integrated, my understanding was, Wires X into it that year. So am I understanding it correctly that you basically had a Wires X node at that person's house, and then people could go in on that Wires X node, and then you integrated it into the system then, correct?
Yes, that's correct. We figured that we better get, you know, like it said in the amateur community, we're always prepared. We always have a plan B in place. And that's, the amateur you're talking about, he lived only air miles, about a mile away from where the start of the race was, up in that cable area. And we talked with him and we said, well, if need be, if we have some type of malfunction or breakdown of communications, can we set up Wires X with you to communicate with us that they can get to you, and through your Wires X system, then you can get to us? And then he said, yes, sure. Fortunately, we've never really had to use it, but it is there if we need it.
And I think that's a pretty big testament, I think, to the Yaesu infrastructure. Because so to help people understand, because I kind of had to lay it down and write it down on a piece of paper here to kind of understand where it is. So you have a VHF and a UHF repeater at a site, okay? And then they're physically connected with the controller, and then the UHF can do analog and digital aspects of it. The VHF is pretty much locked to transmit analog, but you do have the feed coming out of the UHF repeater, whether it be digital analog, going into the VHF repeater in analog format. You can even have users go into analog or digital into VHF. You have the back door and the repeaters. That's just the repeaters alone. Now what you did is you added a simplex frequency from what we had talked about. Now the person could go in on that simplex frequency. It goes down, and you did what? So people in the Wires X world, they did a node to node, folks. So that node directly connected to another node on the opposite end of the course, which feeds the repeater over the air. So now what you do is you, in essence, you have a VHF repeater covering this course, right? And then you have a UHF repeater covering this course. You have multi-mode of people, whether to use analog or digital, to get in, and then having it all go to analog for that total interoperability, that fusion. And then you have a simplex frequency, which feeds into the system also too, to Wires X. So you, in essence, using two repeaters and a Wires X connection, have in essence solved a great communication hurdle for an event supporting 10,000 plus people easily with support staff and everything like that.
Oh, yeah. You know, like I said, when the Berkey people told us how important our communications is for them, we wanted to be sure that we're covering all of our bases. In other words, like I said, the amateur community, amateur operators around the world always know and have always talked about a plan B in place in case. And that's what we did with Wires X, put that plan B available if we needed to go to it. I want to add one more thing here, John, which is very important and kind of like a good pat on the back to the amateur computer. Back, about maybe 12 to 13 years ago, the Sawyer County Sheriff found out how good our communications were being done for the Berkey. He came to me before the Berkey one day and he said, "Wally, can I depend upon your people that if my communication system goes down during this Berkey ski race, that I can use your people?" And I said, "Definitely." And I said that to the medical end of it and to the law enforcement end of it. And they're very happy to know that we're there, that if their systems fail, we're available to continue communications for them.
Well, that's amazing. And that's amazing, and that's a testament to, I think, your team. I think that's a testament to either your infrastructure that you have set up, the design of it, everything like that about there. And I congratulations to you, and even more so, hey, thanks for using Yaesu equipment. Thanks for being Yaesu customers. We appreciate it greatly, and we love to hear these giant success stories of how, you know, we're able to go ahead and provide a communication solution to something that, if not done correctly, would be a disaster.
You know, I got to put a little feather also in the cap of Yaesu here. Back about 2 years ago, a couple of the volunteers that come and help, they did not have, and I won't say the name brand, but they did not have Yaesu handhelds or mobiles.
Well, shame on them.
And at one of our we meet for breakfast at 6 a.m. the morning of the Berkey. All of us do at a certain restaurant here in Hayward. Two of these people that did not have Yaesu equipment, during the breakfast, the guys that had Yaesu handhelds that were able to do Yaesu system fusion showed them how good and clear digital is. They went out and bought themselves Yaesu handhelds just because of the digital factor of it.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing. Well,
yes.
Well, we can't thank you enough for joining us on the podcast here today and, you know, kind of telling us, you know, how your event, it sounds like a very interesting event and everything like that on there. You know, once again, thank you for selecting Yaesu equipment to be that infrastructure provider for you on there. And we're really happy to see it. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for allowing me to be on board with you.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you very much. Once again, this is N9VAO Wally. He is the EC, so the Emergency Coordinator for the Sawyer County Aries Races group up in Northwest Wisconsin. We were talking about the American Birkebeiner event. Has 10,000-plus participants, support staff, everything involved in there, and how they solve their communication needs using Yaesu system fusion, repeaters, the infrastructure, and everything like that. And hey, if your group, your organization, your club, if you guys are using Yaesu products, and we don't care what it is, it doesn't have to be fusion. It could be our HF equipment. It could be whatever it is. If you want to get highlighted on there, go ahead and reach out to me. Reach out to me via email at j.kruk@yaesu.com. Once again, that's j.kruk@yaesu.com. Feel free to drop me an email, a line on the email. In that subject line, please put podcast and then say highlight club, group, or organization and tell me a little bit about it. If we read it and we want to highlight you or we have the ability to highlight you, I'll be in contact with you and we'll schedule out a time for you to go ahead and come on to the podcast. So until then, from everybody at Yaesu USA in the office, whether we're sales, service, support, the shipping department, everybody that makes the Yaesu world run smoothly, take care, 73, and we'll catch you on the bands.